Please join me in prayer this day. O Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The winter of 1925 was terrifying for the residents of Nome, Alaska. After treating four cases of what appeared to be tonsillitis, the only doctor in town, Dr. Curtis Welch, came to a horrifying conclusion. The presence of extremely contagious diphtheria was confirmed. And without an antitoxin, the whole town of 2,000 people and their surrounding native neighbors would likely be lost. The problem was magnified in that the shipping ports had been closed for the season. Aircraft travel was impossible at that time of year. And worse, the diphtheria antitoxin could only last 6 days in the freezing temperatures of the Arctic. The closest source of the drug was in Anchorage, Alaska, 1,000 miles away. There was a railroad from there that could bring the medicine to Nineveh, but Nome was still 675 miles away from Nineveh. Important decision had to be made. The only known way to possibly save the isolated residents was to deliver the serum by dog sled. A relay of 20 teams of dogs, each traveling 30 miles, was coordinated. And when Wild Bill Shannon, the first dog sledder to go, left Nineveh, the temperature was 40 degrees below zero. He carried a life-saving 30-pound package of serum. And for even the most experienced dog sledder, 40 degrees below is brutal and risky. But with so many lives on the line, there was no other choice. So he set his face to the wind, looked out into the black darkness ahead. And when Wild Bill cried, "Mush!" the dogs took off running. And the clock on the lives of the people in the town was running also. The truth is, for all of us, there are times when the path ahead looks dark and difficult. There are times when we are not sure what direction to take, and we don't even know if there is a solution to our problem. Perhaps it's when a series of tests has taken place and the diagnosis is not good. Or maybe it's a pink slip we receive on the job at the end of the workday. Dark times come often when someone we love has died, especially if it's a surprise. Or it may even be something much more common. You have so much to do, you're really feeling stressed. You don't even know where to start. There are times that we, like the dog sledders in Alaska, face a darkness that is frightening. How do we deal with this? Where do we find the strength to move forward? First, we need to realize the root cause of all our problems. is the separation from God that took place after the fall. There was a time when mankind walked with God in the cool of the day. There were no concerns or worries because God was right there close by. But when sin entered the world, we're told that that relationship with God was broken. And that has brought all sorts of problems and along with it all sorts of doubts. Many theologians point to Jesus' death on the cross and say they believe that Jesus really took this separation on himself on the cross. Matthew 27 quotes him as saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? God does not like to have close fellowship with sin. And second, we should remember that God sent Jesus into the world to make it possible that what had been lost would be restored. And we often miss this. We think about the crucifixion as we should, but the path before the crucifixion was not easy. He was confronted by Satan in the wilderness. How would you like to have that experience? He was rejected by many of his own people and practically all of the Jewish leaders. He was spit upon, mocked, and frequently criticized. In the night, in the garden, he cried out to God and said, if it were possible for God to take away the cup of suffering that was down the road. But know this, God was always near to Jesus. And Jesus did what he was supposed to do. He trusted in the promises of God the Father. He obeyed his Father perfectly and died in our place. And there on the cross, by his atoning death, he reconciled us to God and restored the relationship that had been broken. God confirmed that Jesus was who he said he was by raising him from the dead. Now, our reading today, aligned with our message, is from Isaiah 50. Isaiah, of course, is a book of prophecy. Entire books have been written on chapter 53 and all the predictions about Christ. This is a little lesser known prophecy, but it contains some additional material for us and sheds light on the situation. It's the third of what's widely known as servant songs in Isaiah. And each of the songs paints a picture of one we call the servant. And with each song, one is likely to become convinced that the servant is Jesus, the promised Messiah, who came into history to redeem the world. This, of course, was written for God's Old Testament people hundreds of years before our Savior was even born. Look at the description of the servant in this song. In verses 4 and 5, the servant is depicted as one who sustains the weary and listens. In verse 5, we're told he has not been rebellious and he does not turn away from his mission. Verse 6 gives a strong description of the Messiah. He offers his back and his cheeks to blows, And he does not hide his face despite the circumstances. And what does he do? Verse 7 tells us. He sets his face like a flint. What does that mean? He accepted his sufferings willingly and moved ahead with determination to do what he had to do. He did know this. He would not be put to shame. Things would turn out all right in the end. When the road ahead seems dark, this is the one to turn to. He's been there. He knows what it feels like to face a dark road ahead. Jesus trusted fully in the promises of God. And Jesus himself is near us to help us get through whatever challenges we may face in our lives. He has some sweet promises for us. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." To the 11 disciples who were concerned because he was going back to heaven after his resurrection, he said, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And Jesus instructs us that what God the Father had done for him, he can do for us when he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." One of the best sermons I ever heard was on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on Good Friday. Think back to that day. Jesus was dead. The disciples were in hiding. Christianity had been stopped in its tracks. The darkness was descending over the whole world. It seemed that everything was lost, but Sunday was coming. That was the title of the sermon. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. We shall all have our Fridays in some respect. But keep focusing on Jesus and his promise. Our Sunday will be coming also. It was 2 o'clock in the morning when Gunnar Kaysen and his team arrived in Nome. After the work of 20 dog sled teams, 5 grueling days, and 675 miles, the antitoxins arrived into the hands of the doctor. The town was saved. The surrounding neighbors were saved. It wasn't without a cost. A few of the dogs died, and a few of the dog sledders had severe frostbite. Today, the annual Iditarod race is performed to remember the accomplishment of this feat in 1925. My wife reminded me as I was practicing the message that we stood very close to this area. And I had forgotten that they have a statue of a dog there, giving recognition to the help the dogs gave their masters during that time in the lives that were saved. But for Christians, Our great victory happened when the servant sent by God broke through death and won an eternal victory for us. He is near today. No matter what problem you are facing, and He has promised to help us. Thanks be to God, things will turn out all right in the end for us also, and we will have our own celebration. Amen.